You don't have to wait long to hear news of suffering in our world. Confrontations in Charlottesville, terrorism in Barcelona, a Navy helicopter crash off the coast of Hawaii. Or if you're thinking of suffering closer to home, how about a bad accident or a spiraling downward of depression or the agonizing journey of Alzheimer's? We've been hearing a lot about the path of totality regarding the solar eclipse, but when suffering hits close to home, it can feel like a path of totality of an entirely different sort. So what happens during times of suffering? After the initial shock wears off, we're often looking for some sort of explanation. And if the suffering goes on long enough, we might wonder, why, Lord? C.S. Lewis once said that pain is God's megaphone to a deaf world. I think Lewis is right in suggesting that pain grabs hold of our attention like nothing else. But here's the problem. The megaphone of pain doesn't come with any instructions, and we're often not sure how to respond. In our reading for today, Job is about to experience God's megaphone. Of all the people in the Bible, Job is the poster child for suffering. The prologue sets the stage. As we dig into the story, however, a caveat is in order. We might not want to take all these details literally. After all, there's a picture of God and Satan working side by side to devise this test for a blameless and upright Job. And Satan, whose name means the adversary, is convinced that Job worships God only because he lives on Easy Street. Surely, if riches and family were stripped away, Job would be more than ready to curse God. I think this story is less an historical event and more of a folk tale, albeit a folk tale with a very serious subject. That if it's a folk tale, we don't have to try to picture God and Satan cooking up some sort of cosmic contest every time something bad happens to us. No, we can simply acknowledge that bad things happen. And when they do, we're often at a loss to say where they come from and why. Sometimes we may wonder if we've done something wrong and are being punished for it, right? That was the popular thinking in Job's day. You get what you have coming to you. The book of Job directly challenges this way of thinking. No, says our main character, I'm innocent. I didn't bring this on myself. As the story unfolds, Job gets a visit from three of his friends, and they try to convince their friend otherwise. Job, you must have done something wrong. But Job stubbornly maintains that he's innocent. Deanna Thompson is a religion professor at Hamline University. In the summer of 2008, she and her family were living what she called her 95% ideal life. And in her book, Hoping for More, Deanna describes it like this. During the summers when we ate on our patio and work meetings came to a halt, my ideal life percentage closed in on nearly a perfect score. Then one day, Deanna was weeding in her garden. She felt a burning sensation in her lower back. As a follow-up, she saw a chiropractor, then a doctor. She got a prescription for the pain. Nothing seemed to help. An MRI was scheduled. It showed a fractured spine. They ordered more tests. Deanna felt her near-perfect life beginning to slip away. It took several months, but eventually doctors got to the bottom of things. Deanna had stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. And when the news came, it felt like a sharp stab. Deanna tried to pray, but the only words she could find were, please God, please God, please. Shortly after the diagnosis, someone from her church brought a prayer shawl. She wrapped herself up in it. Deanna took great comfort in knowing that others were praying for her. especially when she couldn't find the words herself. She also took comfort on being on Caring Bridge. She referred to the family and friends surrounding her as the virtual body of Christ. Of course, being on Caring Bridge meant that Deanna opened herself up to a wide variety of opinions and comments. People said things like, "Cancer is a gift." They said things like, "Everything happens for a reason." They said things like, "Isn't it amazing the lengths God will go to fix our gaze on Him?" People were trying to be helpful. That's what we do in times of suffering. We try to make sense of things. But let's be honest. Often there is no good answer for why bad things happen, and our well-meaning words fall flat. One comment that did help Deanna came from a hospitalist who said, "I hope you know that none of this is your fault." If you read through the book of Job, the comments from his three friends are a little like those hard-to-hear comments on Caring Bridge. In contrast, the overall message of the book is probably closer to that of the hospitalist. "I hope you know, Job, that none of this is your fault." But even though Job is blameless and upright, that doesn't keep him from asking hard questions. "Why is this happening, Lord? And why don't you answer my prayers?" In the midst of the suffering of people like Job and Deanna Thompson, what does resilience look like? A cover of the bulletin says that resilience is the ability to recover from adversity or challenge. I like that definition, but I find myself wanting more. Specifically, how do we get there? How can we possibly recover when life as we know it gets turned upside down? Perspective is important. Scott Hamilton was an Olympic gold medalist in 1984. Today, he's a cancer survivor. Listen to his story.
I didn't have any symptoms. I just went in for my normal checkup, and they found the beginnings of the brain tumor coming back. I have a unique hobby of collecting life-threatening illness. You know, I survived cancer in 97. 7 years later, I was diagnosed with a pituitary brain tumor. First thing is, great, okay, that's not fair. All right, I've had cancer, I get a pass for a while. But then, you know, when I told my wife, the first thing she did, without even a beat of emotion or anything else, she just grabbed both my hands and she started to pray. And it was powerful. I mean, it changed everything for me because I realized, you know, where you go when you're truly up against it. Ironically, I was born with that brain tumor, but for those years that I skated, I was not symptomatic at all. And then it came back 6 years later in 2010, and that time they did surgery, and now it's 6 years later, and it decided that it wanted a encore. I learned as a parent that if your kid falls down and go, "Are you okay?" Then they go, I don't know, I'm freaking out. You kind of set the stage, right? So when this one came back, my 12-year-old son, my oldest biological son, he came to me and he said, "Is your brain tumor back?" And I go, "Yeah, it is." And, you know, here we go again. You know, so I set the tone. Because anytime, you know, cancer is a tough thing and it's really just devastated a lot of families. I lost my mother to cancer and it changed my life forever. But I choose to truly, in everything that we do, we celebrate life. You know, the first thing I teach skaters at my skating academy is how to get up, because we're going to fall. I wrote a chapter in my last book, The Great Eight, and it's called, you know, Fall Down, Get Up, and Smile Like Christy Yamaguchi. And every night I watch Christy, and she took a hard fall on a really difficult jump at the beginning of one of her programs, and she got up and like that went right back to her program, like nothing happened. And so I'm sitting there going, did she just fall or not? I think she okay, I'm confused because she's joyful. And I realize in that moment there's a life lesson there. Yeah, I'm going to fall down. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to do all kinds of things that I wish didn't happen. But it's what's next. It's how you get up. Because the more times you get up, the stronger you are to face the next thing, which will happen because that's life.
I'm inspired by Hamilton's words. We're all going to fall, but the more times we get up, the stronger we are to face the next thing, which will happen because that's life. And when life happens, perspective is important. How do we recover when life as we know it gets turned upside down? A sense of purpose is important. A decade ago, David and Karen Showalter and their three girls were living in Rochester. They were members of Zumbro. On August 11th, 2007, they were on their way home from a family vacation. They were going around a bend in the road near Crosby, Minnesota, when they were involved in a head-on collision. Several in the family were seriously injured, and tragically, David was killed. In the aftermath of the accident, and in the midst of incredible heartache and pain, only one thing seemed certain. Life was never going to be the same again. I talked with Karen last Saturday, one day after the 10th anniversary of the accident. Since that fateful day, according to Karen, there have been lots and lots of detours. As she talked about those detours, I was struck by how David's death has marked each one in the family. And I was moved by the sense of purpose that's been part of their recovery and healing. Karen eventually went to medical school in the state of Washington. And now in her residency, she is drawn to help people in the portals of life, at birth and at death. Kirsten has been writing a book about growing up without a father. Megan is teaching 7th and 8th grade math because that was the age she was when her father died. Susan plans to become a geneticist like her dad and help children who are born with genetic issues. And then there's Gretchen, who just finished high school. Gretchen wrote on her application essay for college, "I never wanted my father to die, but I am who I am today because it happened." Recovering from adversity or challenge is sometimes the hardest thing in the world. A sense of purpose can help in finding the way forward. How do we recover when life as we know it gets turned upside down? Gratitude is important. There were days when Deanna Thompson wanted to say, "Thank you very much, Lord, but I'm ready to have my 95% ideal life back again." But needless to say, that hasn't happened. Still, there have been plenty of times for gratitude. The outpouring of support on Caring Bridge, special moments with her family, good reports from the doctor. As Deanna's treatment progressed and the prayers continued, the tumor in her breast shrunk and eventually disappeared. In medical terms, Deanna was officially in remission, but friends and loved ones looked upon it as a healing, as a miracle. Deanna tells the story of a 40th birthday party for her sister-in-law. They were going to play softball. Deanna wasn't all that enthused about playing softball, but she agreed. Before the game began, her sister-in-law asked her to return a jersey to the home of a mutual friend. When Deanna got to the friend's house, she soon discovered that all sorts of people were there. And then she found out that there wasn't a softball game after all, but instead a quilting bee. And the party wasn't for her sister-in-law, but rather for her. And for the past several months, these friends had been working on quilt squares, and now they had gathered to celebrate her healing and to finish the quilts. Deanna was overwhelmed. The party was more than she ever could have imagined. And later that night, after heading home, she reflected on the day's events. Could life be any better than it's been today? And she had a sudden flash of insight. In addition to the party of a lifetime, the quilting bee offered a glimpse into what the heavenly banquet must be like, a joy-filled party in which we're surrounded by people who love us and care for us. And if that's the case, thought Deanna, if what awaits us is anything like the quilting bee, then getting sick again and dying is no longer seem quite as foreboding as before. Deanna went on. What the quilt and the party showed me is that I didn't have to die in order to get a taste of heaven. And what's more, the taste of heaven hadn't occurred back in the days of my 95% ideal life, but instead it came right in the middle of my fractured, grief-filled life. Deanna concluded, my mind hasn't changed on the cancer as gift idea. Accepting this new life doesn't mean we need to be thankful for the suffering, the pain, the grief, the death. I still don't believe my cancer happened for a reason. It just happened. But the creation of a quilt by so many loved ones tilted the scale in my life from grief to gratitude. I am so blessed. How do we recover when life as we know it gets turned upside down? Like Job, we may have moments when we wonder why this is happening and why God isn't answering our prayers. When suffering comes, perspective and purpose and gratitude are important, maybe even essential. As we live in these moments, perhaps we feel a little less alone if we're surrounded by friends who don't need to make sense of it all, but who would rather just be with us. Perhaps we'll feel just a little less anxious if we can come to see that often there is no satisfactory answer to the why question. Sometimes bad things just happen to good people. And perhaps we'll feel a little more hopeful if, by the grace of God, we receive a little taste of heaven on earth and we come to trust that God has been with us all along. There's a word for that trust. It's called resilience. Amen.